Shall we bow our heads right before we begin? Dear Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, for all these things that you have provided for us. And we ask that you would speak to us tonight through your word, and that we would allow it to be powerful in our lives. And we thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about another one of my favorites of the laws of health. And it says in Genesis 2:15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." It has been said that action is the law of our being, and inactivity is a fruitful cause of disease. And an inspired author wrote, "Morning exercise, walking in the free, invigorating air of heaven, or cultivating flowers, small fruits, and vegetables is necessary to a healthful circulation of the blood." We've been talking a lot about good blood, and you need good circulation as well. "It is the surest safeguard against colds, coughs, congestions of the brain and lungs, inflammation of the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, and 100 other diseases." Exercise, right? If you feel like maybe it's hard to get out and exercise and you don't have much energy, here's a promise just for you. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Would you like that experience? Exercise is for everyone, whether you're old or young, or fit or not fit. Exercise is for you. And I just like to go over a few of the benefits of exercise. There are so many benefits of exercise. One that's fairly obvious, it strengthens our bones and our muscles. We all know that, right? Did you know that it also strengthens your internal organs? As you're exercising and you're getting movement, that strengthens those internal organs, and it gets more blood to those organs as well, and that increases their health, right? It improves the circulation. We just read that improves circulation by increasing the efficiency of the lungs. So you can actually get more oxygen into your lungs. It increases the efficiency of the heart. Your heart gets stronger, and it actually will pump more blood with each beat as you increase in physical fitness. And so therefore it doesn't have to pump as much, because with each beat, you're getting more blood. It increases the efficiency of the blood vessels. They increase in size and in number. And of course, it's good to get more blood vessels. You get more blood to your tissues and your cells. Perfect health depends on perfect circulation. And the more exercise, the better the circulation. And why is circulation so important? Because the blood carries the oxygen and the nutrients, and that's what you need to every cell and tissue of your body. Okay, exercise also increases the capacity of the blood to carry oxygen. We talked about the lungs getting more oxygen. Now your blood can get more oxygen when you're exercising. It helps the body throw off impurities. Of course, CO2, you're breathing out. After you take a deep breath of oxygen, you exhale CO2. And it also encourages the cells to clean house, get rid of these toxins, dumps it into the blood. The blood's circulating, gets going through the liver. The liver cleans the blood out. It just helps clean house in the body. It regulates and normalizes blood pressure. There's a story of a man, he had cardiovascular disease, and he was miserable. He didn't feel good. He knew he was going to have a heart attack. I think he had other problems going on in his home. And he thought, "I'm just going to commit suicide, and so I'm going to go out and start jogging, and I'm going to have a heart attack and die." And so he started jogging, And it really felt painful, and he felt like he was about to die, but he didn't die. He made it that day. And the next day, went out and jogged some more. He kept trying to kill himself. And pretty soon, he got feeling so much better, he decided not to commit suicide. Okay, it helps lower the LDL cholesterol and increases the HDL cholesterol. HDL is your good kind of cholesterol. LDL is bad, and so it increases the good cholesterol. It improves insulin sensitivity, and this is very important for people who are diabetic. They say that if you're diabetic, you should take a walk after every meal, a little walk. Now, you don't want to do real strenuous, hard labor right after you eat, because that will take blood away from your stomach, and you need some blood to help digest your food. But a walk after you eat will improve the insulin sensitivity, and that means that that will help take the blood, the sugar out of the blood better into your cells and lower your blood sugar. It reduces the tendency of the blood to clot, and that lowers your risk for strokes and heart attacks. It improves intermittent claudication, and that's pain in your legs because of caused by poor circulation. It aids in digestion. Moderate exercise actually will help digestion. It helps you reach and keep your body at an ideal weight. It strengthens your immune system. So it decreases your risk of cancer, infections, congestions, inflammations. It reduces stress and relaxes tense muscles. That's pretty obvious to all of us. It lifts gloom. It stimulates the production of endorphins to your brain, especially norepinephrine, and that's an antidepressive neurotransmitter. Did you know that your cell has receptor sites? And things, they're like little keyholes, and things attach to those little keyholes, and then that enables things to get into the cell. Now, viruses and bacteria and things can attach onto these receptor sites, and then they can get into the cell and cause damage in the cell. Endorphins can attach onto those same receptor sites as viruses and pathogens. And so if you have more endorphins floating around in your bloodstream, they have done studies and they found endorphins throughout your whole body. And that's when you feel good, your body produces endorphins, and exercise will produce endorphins. And if you have more endorphins floating around and getting into these little keyholes in your cell, then where are the pathogens and the viruses going to attach to? These receptor sites have been taken up. That's why the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, right? That's one application of that verse. It improves your mental efficiency, promotes clear thinking, and relieves brain weariness, beautifies the figure, beautifies your complexion, gives your skin a healthy glow. Your body's invigorated, of course. Energy and efficiency are increased. Endurance, it delays the onset of fatigue. You know, you think when you go get out and exercise, oh, you're going to feel more tired. It actually gives you more energy. Your endocrine system becomes more efficient. The pituitary, the pancreas, the adrenals, and sex glands become more efficient. It improves a better balance between the voluntary and the autonomic nervous system. They've done studies on people that have Alzheimer's, and they put two different groups, one in an exercise class and one in a language skill class. And they found that the group that exercised actually increased in their language ability, 40% of them increased, whereas the group that was just had language, their language class, there was no noticeable improvement. It forestalls hearing loss, they say, possibly by improving oxygen-rich blood flow through the tiny blood vessels in the ear. It helps prevent and manage coronary heart disease, hypertension, obesity, osteoporosis, and diabetes. We talked about some of the ways that it helps to prevent those diseases. So it strengthens all parts of your body when you exercise. It's beneficial to every part of your body. When you get out and work in the garden, take a walk in the morning. JAMA, that's the Journal of the American Medical Association, February 1, 1995, it said it's estimated that 250,000 deaths per year are attributed to a lack of regular physical activity. Well, we're talking about physical activity. How about spiritual activity? Now, this is what God says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding." Now, he never gets tired, does he? And then there's a text in 1 Timothy 4:8. And at first, when I read this, I thought, how can this be true? It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Well, we just read all these great benefits of bodily exercise, didn't we? "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Now, it didn't say it was of no profit, right? Bodily exercise, it didn't say is of no profit. It says it's of little profit. And in the margin, it said that bodily exercise profiteth for a little time. But the blessings and the benefits of godliness are so much greater and include so much more than just physical exercise. We read all these wonderful benefits of exercise. Following a life of godliness, searching after God, profiteth so much more than just physical exercise. Sure, that's very profitable. But that's the kind of exercise God wants us to strive for, right? Is godliness, following after Him. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in me, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." That's to be our spiritual exercise, that we understand and know God. And it goes on to say that "I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Okay, if we could get the handouts passed out for tonight on exercise. In the first part is just some of the things that we just went over. And the last part, I just want you to follow along when we talk about this, is starting an exercise program. So if you haven't already, if you're not on an exercise program and you want to get started on one, just a few suggestions that might be helpful to you. It's safer to exercise than not to exercise. You know, some people say, well, boy, you know, I'm getting older. I haven't exercised in a while. Boy, maybe I should wait until I can see a doctor before I start exercising. They say it's safer to start exercising than not. But because the risks of physical activity are so low compared to the problems that you run into if you don't exercise. But there are some things that you can, use common sense about. If you are over men over 40 or women over 50 with multiple cardio risk factors, they recommend that you go in and have, an evaluation. Usually what a physician would do is put you on a treadmill and hook you. Maybe many of you have had treadmill tests. They hook you up, see what your heart is doing while you're walking, and they increase the speed and the intensity, and they see how your heart responds while you're exercising. And coronary risk factors are a history of high blood pressure, 145 over 95. You know what ideal blood pressure is 120 over 80. That's what good, if you have lower blood pressure than that, that's fine, but they say 120 over 80 is good. Elevated total cholesterol over HDL ratio above 5. If it's above 5, they state that you might have a coronary risk factor there. If you smoke, if you have an abnormal resting EKG, that's when they hook you up, see what your heart is doing, and a family history of heart disease before 50 and diabetes. So those are just some things to keep in mind. If you have some of those, you might want to go in and get on a treadmill and see what your heart is doing. But there's no reason usually that you just can't get out and start walking. Walking is one of the best things that you can do And there's a few things later on that we'll look at that you can kind of gauge yourself to see how good your heart is doing on your own without having a treadmill. Start out slow and then work up. The main thing to remember is if you're starting out, try to walk a mile if you can. Now, some people, I know there was one lady, I was at a health program, and there was one lady, and she was very, very overweight, and she could hardly walk. And they had a flagpole out in front of the building, and all she could do was barely get around that one time. Well, by the end of the program, she was going around it several times. So obviously, you have to start where you can, but kind of a goal, and most of you look like that you could probably walk a mile. A goal is to try to walk a mile in 15 minutes. And maybe the first time you go out, it'll take you half an hour or so. And then try to walk a little faster, a little faster. If you just go out and kind of, you know, shuffle along down the street, you're probably not going to get a good cardiovascular workout or a strengthening to your muscles. So push yourself a little bit and try to get a mile in 15 minutes. Once you do that, try to get 2 miles in a half an hour, 3 miles in 45 minutes, and 4 miles in an hour. And you'll get a good workout if you can do that. Make it fun, though. Maybe walking is not your thing. Maybe there's something else you enjoy doing. Bicycling, swimming, those are good cardiovascular, muscular building things to do. And so make it fun. They did a study on some medical students, and they had them pick an exercise that they enjoyed doing, and they tested their cholesterol. And after they worked out for a while, I don't know if it was a week or how long, they tested their cholesterol again, and their cholesterol had gone down. Then they let their cholesterol come back up again. They stopped the exercise, their cholesterol came back up, and then they put them on a treadmill, and they just had them run on a treadmill every day for however long, and they didn't notice any much change in their cholesterol. I guess treadmill walking wasn't very much fun for them. So anyway, the outcome of that, what they felt like they determined from that study was that if you really enjoy what you're doing with exercise, then you're going to have more beneficial physical effects. Sometimes, you know, it's nice to walk with somebody. It's always nice to walk out in the sunshine or in the open, fresh air rather than in a gym. You get the air quality is much better, I think. And of course, you get all the wonderful benefits of the sunshine that we talked about last night. Types of exercise. Stretching and weightlifting are good to do because they make you obviously more flexible and stronger, so that when you're in the aerobic phase, when you're really working out, walking fast, cycling, whatever you're going to do, you're not going to injure yourself as easily if you're more limber and you're stronger. And so that's why those things are good. And you can see here, I just listed a few things that I like to do anyway. Intensity. Okay, now this is a way that you can judge yourself how you're doing. You need to be able to talk. If you're exercising so hard and you can't talk, then maybe you're pushing yourself a little bit much. So you need to be able to talk while you're exercising. And pain, of course, if you start having pain in your chest, your throat, your arm, a joint, that would be a signal. You need to go in and have somebody check you out. And your optimal pulse rate or target heart rate. To get a good benefit of exercise, you need your target heart rate. You need to be exercising at your target heart rate. Not at your maximal heart rate, but 65 to 80% of your max. Now your max, when we were in school, they hooked up one of our classmates to the treadmill, and they measured his VO2 max, I think, his oxygen input, and they also put him on a EKG, and they had him max out. He went until he was dying. He felt like it, you know. He hit the wall. He went until he could not go any farther. And they measured his heart rate to see what his max was. And that's what his max is. And usually it's around 200, 220. That's how many beats a minute your heart is pumping. Well, don't exercise at 220, 200 beats per minute. you want to exercise at 65 to 85% of that. So if you're just starting out on the exercise program, try to get up to 65. That'll be a good workout. That'll start really building your heart up and your muscles. And then as you get stronger, then go up to 85% of that max heart rate. And so you have a little thing on page, well, it's on the last page, that helps you determine what your target is. Your max, they just gave you a number, 220. They're just assuming that if you maxed out, your heart would be going at 220 beats a minute. So then here you subtract your age. Then you subtract your resting pulse rate. So take that sometime when you're sitting quietly. You can even take it now if you have a minute hand. And, or in the morning is a good time, before you even get out of bed, take it. That's your resting heart rate. And everyone knows how to take their heart, their pulse, right? You put your hand, your fingers down here, right over that artery that goes down there by your thumb, and you can feel your heart beating. They say sometimes if you take it up here, you can really feel it good up here. But they say if you're really exercising hard and you take it up here, sometimes you can pass out because you put pressure on that and you can block the artery. So you're getting decreased blood, you know, up to your... So they recommend you take it down here. Then you add back your resting pulse rate. Oh, wait, let's see, I skipped one. You take 65 to 85% of that. And that is... Well, you can see it. That's why I wanted you to see it, because it's hard to explain when I'm not writing things down. Anyway, you add it back, you divide it by 6, and that comes out to a 10-second pulse count. You divide it by 6 because that way you don't have to, when you're out exercising, you don't have to stand there for a whole minute and count your pulse. You can just stand there for 10 seconds. And, of course, you need a watch, you know, that has a little minute hand. Or if you don't want to go through all that trouble here, just find your age range. And here's your 10-second pulse count over there. It's really not that hard. Just get your little calculator out and you can figure it out just fine. My target heart rate is 160. And I think I figured it at 85%. So when I go out and exercise, I want to get my heart beating up to 160 for, what, 20, 30 minutes. Then I've had a good workout. And then you cool down, bring your heart back down slow. Before you stop. You'll feel better if you do that. And at the bottom it says a little summary. Your exercise program should include a warm-up, an aerobic phase, and then a cool-down.